What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiak.
Episode 4 of Pucks in 7. We've done 3 episodes and we've been very excited about them, but there's something more about this one, Vic. Why? Because it's the beginning of the North American portion of the National Hockey League season 24-25. So we're thrilled about this. And I know the NHL and the fans of all these 32 teams can't wait for this to get going. We're, of course, brought to you by Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Inflation continues to hover about 3-4%, both gold and silver, increasingly seen as reliable assets as well. Silver is currently one of the most affordable ways for new investors to begin building a precious metals portfolio. Use promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off on your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T money.ca. Later on, Derek Van Deest will join us. We'll go to 77 seconds with DVD. We'll talk about Edmonton and his impressions too going into this NHL campaign. We'll go west as well. Huge storylines. One of the biggest is Jessica Campbell. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We see her debut tonight. We begin in the east. I will preface this topic by just simply asking you a question. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the weekends first. I'm spoiling it. I got so into the hockey that I forgot about the weekends. You were in Nashville. And yes. Were you involved in that goalpost fiasco that was happening?
The big Vanderbilt upset?
Because I was looking at video and I swear I saw you walking down the street with that thing.
We could have been. I was there in Nashville for a long weekend with a girlfriend of mine. We were celebrating her birthday. And our hotel, whatever you want to call it, where we were staying, it was great, by the way, was literally steps from Vanderbilt University. So we heard a lot of joyous action.
Oh, I bet.
I'm not the biggest college football fan. I appreciate it, as I know you do as well, but we're not into it like the fans down there. And watching the end of that game, we were in a restaurant. And when they finally, you know, the final whistle and they beat Alabama, number one ranked in the country, everybody went, and I know I use this term a lot, but I really mean it.
Bananas.
Everybody went bananas. It was so much fun. And then the chaos ensued afterwards, but it was all good fun chaos. Nobody got hurt. Nobody did anything stupid.
Exactly. They got fined $100,000. The school did.
You know what? They can afford it.
Exactly.
They can
it's
afford
fine.
It. They're all
only
right.
100? Come on. That's good. I'm glad you had a good time. I was in Quebec City. We did our hot stove first show on Sirius XM 91. We did that on Saturday and was after one of the Global Series games, which we'll get to in a second, between Buffalo and New Jersey. I have not been to Quebec City, Vic, in years. I've been to Montreal a lot more. This was more of a, we didn't have time to walk around. At least I didn't. Dave and Dennis got there a couple of days before I did. Mm-hmm. But it's, from what I saw and from the time that we were actually walking, beautiful, beautiful city. So I encourage everyone. Number one, to go to Nashville too. I love Nashville. But go to Quebec City.
It's making me laugh, actually, just the different weekends we have. Because mine was planned and yours was spontaneous.
Yes, I know.
If I had been in, because I know you drove there. If I was at home, I was pouring myself into your car. Because
I knew you were.
I was taking a free trip to Quebec City.
No,
Quebec City is one of my favorite cities in North America. I had never been to Nashville before, and it is now one of my new favorite cities because it's just such a great party time. But I can tell you, I don't know two cities in North America that could be more different.
No. So here's the thing. So you've been to Nashville. I haven't.
Right.
I've been to Quebec City. You haven't.
Oh, I have been to Quebec City. Yes.
Okay, but you haven't in a while, so it writes itself. It writes itself.
Right.
So we got to go. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and we got to see two of the Kings against the Panthers.
Yep.
The last game of their preseason, that was great. Got to see some of the players, Matthew Tkachuk and Rob Blake walks by. I saw him. He looks like he's 20. The guy looks like he can still play hockey. A lot of these guys do. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. That's done. Back to my question to you about this topic that we're going to begin with. Why did it need to take this long?
Oh, Jeremy Swayman. I'm guessing we're going to start with that.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had to have their little hissy fits.
Come on.
I said last week.
Of time.
I said last week to anybody who would listen, including you, the grown-ups were going to grow up eventually. Mm. I thought it was going to take maybe a week into the regular season, so they exceeded my expectations by acting like mature adults beforehand.
They had to get this thing done before game one.
They absolutely did. So he got his deal. He got his 8 years, 8.25, mm-hmm. which was the compromise that we all anticipated. And now I like the fact that they're all wiping their hands of the matter. That's my visual for those of you who are listening on audio. And now they're moving on. And there's even talk. The Bruins are playing today. There's even talk that he might be in the starter's net after only one practice. So we'll see what happens.
He's a Bruin. He's not a bird. So he's not going to go to a nest and play. He's going to go
and
goal. I think he should play. What I find crazy about this whole... Yeah, I do. I do. Throw him in. Come on. You're worth 66 mil. Let's go. You have no excuse. What I find so pointless about this whole thing was that you had 64 on the offer table by Neely when he came out and said that last week. I can't remember. And then the agent and Swayman went back to say, well, this is the first time we've ever heard of this.
What?
And then it's only a difference of two. You'd bump it up to 66. I mean, give me a break.
A lot of grandstanding.
Yeah, Brad Marchand, everyone else in the Bruins kept texting him, Swayman, saying, look, anytime you're in this situation, I've never been, but I think, okay, what do my teammates think? Are they thinking that, why are you sitting out? Like, what's your problem? Let's go sign this thing. What's the deal? But they all said, hey, when you get your stuff done, when you come back, everything will be absolutely fine. So this now begs the question, what does Igor Shesterkin's contract look like?
11.25?
I think it's gone down.
Do
I think it's gone down.
No, I absolutely do. He doesn't have the same. Jeremy Swayman has played great. His resume is a fraction of what Igor Shesterkin has shown us on a regular basis.
Okay, hold on. So Swayman, lifetime goals against, I know the sample size is smaller, of 2.34. Shesterkin at 2.42. Shesterkin's save percentage, 921. Swayman, 919. There's not a massive gap. There is games, of course, being played. All that stuff. I think this has come down a bit, and I think the Rangers are going to make him the highest paid goalie, but I think Swayman's contract has come in a bit, and maybe the Rangers will say, look, I know you haven't played as many, you played more than Swayman, but you don't. So what, Swayman's at 8.25.
And you eight said, and a quarter.
You said, well, that's key. You said Shesterkin is what,
11 and a quarter.
Okay. I don't see that being 11 and a quarter. No, I don't.
I'm going to bring it back to sample size. Sample size is everything in this case. What? Well, Anthony Stolarz is now going to make $6 million a year because he had the best save percentage in the league last year. He played 27 games. I mean, it's just you have to look at sample size.
Yeah,
Jeremy Swayman isn't proven yet. Shesterkin is. So 11.25 is my prediction.
Okay. So we'll keep that 11.25 and we will see what happens. Another question as we keep rolling. Does Ovi tie and then surpass Wayne Gretzky's 894?
Before I answer that, it was very interesting. I was writing a betting column this week for ESPN, which I do on occasion. And one of the lines that was offered on the particular site I was dealing with, I'm going to ask you, guess where they set his regular season over-under goals at? I was surprised.
Okay, so if you're surprised, then I'm going to say 30.
You bang on, 29 and a half.
Okay.
That
really
shocked me.
Really?
The only year that Alexander Ovechkin has scored fewer than 30 goals was during the COVID shortened season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in other seasons when he hasn't played. Right.
It's pretty obvious why. No games.
He played 46 games. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the fact that they had it at 29.5, people are talking about him breaking the record. Scoring 42 is what's needed to get Gretzky, right?
Yeah.
42. People are talking about it being a realistic. And then they actually said, so guess what my betting advice was? Take the over.
Yeah.
I don't know how he comes under 30. That aside, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If he gets the record.
I would love to see it happen. And what you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see kind of what happened with Austin Matthews toward the end of last season. He was so close to 70 and he was playing every minute possible. They were giving him the puck. I'd love to see Ovi be, say, two goals away with, I don't know, five games to go. And then he has one goal, so he's one goal away with, say, two to go. Imagine everyone's eyes will be on those two hockey games. But I'm with you. 42, he scored 42 in 2022-2023. Didn't play well last season. I went to Dubai, rode the camel. All of a sudden, everything was great.
You love that narrative.
I do, because it's the key. I think everyone should say, if I'm having trouble, go to Dubai if you can afford it. Ride a camel. Okay. Off you go. And then he played well. I don't see it happening. I'd love to see it. But then, and also too, it's kind of one of those narratives where, say he gets to 35 or 36, and he's six away for next season. It's going to be done within 3 weeks. I kind of want this thing to kind of get, you know, have it say over the course and have it play out over the course of the season.
But yes or no, he does it. Answer. Yes or no.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you too. But I want him to as well. I want to watch it. And I want it to come back. Just like you said, I want it to come down to the last two, three games of the season. I think that would be a hoot.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And it would be bananas,
yes.
Everyone watching it. What do you think of the Max Pacioretty signing in Toronto?
Like it. No risk.
Me too.
There's an excellent article in The Athletic today, actually, by Jonas Siegel, writing about what Max Pacioretty went through going to Germany and Finland,
right,
and having three surgeries on the Achilles and never knowing what. But the perseverance he wanted to demonstrate to his five kids, to his family, to everybody, all the sacrifices his family had made for him, he really wanted to give it one more go.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this German surgeon is a magician. He's never,
right,
he feels really good now.
He looks good.
He looks good, too. He's not quick. But he never was, so it doesn't matter. As a third-line winger on the secondary power play in Toronto for under a mil, I know there's a bunch of bonuses for next year, but they're performance-based bonuses, so it'll be worth it because that means he performed,
yeah,
right? So low risk, he can really bring something to the team. The guy's a natural goal scorer. He's a sniper, man. He's dangerous. And
he
on
is.
The third line, I like it a lot. I imagine you do too.
Yeah, I do. It's a low risk, high reward. And the contract is for just under $874,000 and then a bonus of almost $314,000 if he plays 10 games, the same amount if he gets to 35, so the total of 1.5. The funny part about this whole thing is that the Leafs cut the roster down to 23, and they made it under the cap by $1.
I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
By a loony. 88 mil. They were just by... anyway, that's funny. No, I'm with you. I think it's good. To your point about him not being fast, he doesn't have to be. Because
no.
His game is not built on speed. And the Leafs have speed. So you create chances, give your teammates an opportunity, give the line mates an opportunity, off you go. And he rattled some feathers too, Vic, when he said this is the hardest working group that he's ever been a part of. A lot of people thought that was a dig, that he was digging against some other team. I don't know. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
Of course it's a dig. Of course it's a dig.
You always think that. I always think it's nice. And you're like, no. I don't know.
No, I think it's a dig. For sure. But I also think it's entertaining and fun.
Yeah.
So there.
Rangers, Artemi Panarin back at practice.
Oh,
that's a good sign.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that
okay?
I think I picked him for the Art Ross. That's right. I picked him to win the Art Ross. So I was. If you miss the first month of the season, certainly puts a dent in that already difficult campaign. It was just after scoring 120 points last season, such a key part of the Rangers' success. This is a team a lot of people expect to see go to the final. He is their best player outside of the pipes for certain. And even then, it's I hate the preseason injuries. I know you can, all the guys say you can still get hurt on day one. I know you can get hurt on day one, but at least if you're competing for real, it feels a little bit different. So he's back at practice. Thank goodness. Hopefully he feels all right. Because if he didn't, you know, they would have held him out another game or two, right? They're not going to sacrifice.
No, I agree.
So that means that he feels all right. So it is good news.
You said that he's for certain, you know, not the first, the best, the most important player on the team for certain is the goaltender. So you should say for Shurkin, he's the most important player on the team.
I could smell that one coming, this one.
Well, I was trying to go through my head, is it going to come out the way I want it to? And that was a bit tougher than usual. Anyway, how about that line when Panarin's healthy? Vinny Trocheck, Alexi Lafreniere, and Artemi Panarin. That's not too bad. Okay, so the two games are in the books, the Global Series over in Czechia, and that was a lot of fun. And again, you and I are big fans of growing the game globally and all that stuff. So New Jersey, two things came away from that those two games. Number one, the Devils are going to win the Cup. They're going to go 82-0.
No question.
And secondly, Jacob Markstrom is going to win the Vezina. So
100%.
Easy said than done. In those two games, the Devils look good. Why? Because they're a good team, but also they're healthy, knock on wood. They also they outshot Buffalo quite a bit in that second game. Devin Levi had to be huge for the Sabres. So I think the Devils are good, Vic, and I know you picked them. I know we did this last week. You have them in the Metro. I don't know. It's only two games. But still, hey, 4 points. You'll take them.
They're my favorite sexy team in the East. I've been saying that since they made all the offseason moves. I have them winning the division. They played Buffalo. My concern here is...
Mm-hmm.
Do we start to, I know two games. Do we start to worry about Buffalo a little bit?
Okay. So let me throw back to you then. What's the expectation of Buffalo going in? Because if it's high, then we maybe worry. But if it's not, then why should we worry?
These overseas games are just so bizarre to me. I don't like to put too much stock in them. Was it last year that Nashville just looked brutal and then they ended up making the playoffs because of the second half of the season surge?
Yeah.
So I don't want to press the panic button yet, but I think a lot of us, of course I'm not going to, it's two games for crying out loud, but a lot of people have Buffalo rebounding from a desultory performance last year. A lot of people, I didn't say you. I said a lot of people.
I know. I didn't do that because,
you made that. So that's my only concern here. But I'm going to wait for them to get back on North American soil. Let's see what they can do when they're back in the rhythm. They're sleeping in their own beds or at least their own hotel beds on the road that they're accustomed to with their own training staff and everything is back to normal. Right. And you're in your own time zone. You know what I mean.
I do.
North American time zones anyways. And then we could pass a little bit more judgment. But circling back, Jersey looks great, man. They really do already. I know. And that's no Luke Hughes. I mean, still, they still have a couple of people who are hurt. So
I was just looking at Buffalo and the record last year. So they had 84 points, two games over 500 if you do the normal 500, 39, 37, and 6. I don't see them moving up from that. So not worried yet.
I do.
Obviously, it's
I have them playing better this season,
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see. They're 0-2, but again, I'm with Vic. Overseas, much different story. 4 points they didn't get, but still, you have 80 games left to go. I've been reading a lot about this, and I know you have too, and I know that's why you put this in the lineup. Carolina Hurricanes were a very good hockey team. They've been a very good hockey team for a number of years. But a lot of people are saying, hold on a second. Have they regressed a ton? And I actually had a discussion on the weekend with somebody who said, I don't see them making the playoffs.
I've heard that a lot.
Is it that are we at that point of being that extreme with Carolina?
I'm not yet. And I have been asked, this is why I did put it in our lineup, because I've been asked this on the NHL Network on different shows and different radio stations as well. Why are we not giving them the same respect as the year before? Okay. I can't possibly come back from having them in the cup final against Dallas and then winning it. And then all of a sudden turning around now and going, they're not even going to make the playoffs. I can't do that in good conscience. Okay. To start now, I know they lost Brady Shea. I know they lost Brett Pesce, Teravainen. Okay. But other than that, they also got some additions. I love the addition of Sean Walker. I think that's a great addition. So they have some new guys, Gostisbehere is on there as well. And I know that's a completely different defender from Brett Pesce. We're not comparing the two. It's apples and oranges, but it's bringing talent into the team. This team is not wildly different from how it was constructed last year. They have the same great coach that everybody loves, who got extended after there was talk that he wouldn't. Yeah. So yes, I still have them making the playoffs. Do I have them going to the cup final again? I certainly do not. Do I have them winning the division? Absolutely not. But making the playoffs, I have them clearing that bar. What, over the Islanders, Washington, and Pittsburgh? Sure.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised if they don't make the postseason. That's why I said, is it too extreme? And I think it is too extreme. I don't think they will be as productive as they were a season ago. You mentioned the names out. You mentioned the guys that are in. And they're not significantly different than last season. My concern is, number one, the health of Freddie Anderson. He was 13-2 last season, played sparingly. Good goaltender when he's healthy. And Kachekov, is he the one now to kind of take the reins? So my concern is in goal. And if they don't play good defensive hockey, because they've been a very good defensive team, it may be different this year because of the guys you mentioned now off the blue line. That's only my concern. But I do not have them not making the playoffs. I have them getting in because you're right. I mean, I don't see them being worse than Pittsburgh. I don't see them being worse than Washington specifically.
Or the Islanders.
Or the Islanders. Before we hit a break, speaking of goaltenders, our thoughts to Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell certainly has had the ups and downs. He played great in Toronto, signed the nice deal with Edmonton. And then we know that he's been dealing with a bunch of things on the ice. And now, of course, Vic, we know that he's been dealing with some things off the ice. He's into the player's assistance program right now in the NHL.
Hopefully it works for him. Again, like you just mentioned, we wish him the very best. We don't know the details. We certainly don't need to know the details. Frankly, none of our business. Sounds like a pretty good guy. Even if he wasn't, you're still wishing him the best. But he also sounds like a pretty solid dude, too. So all the best to him and his family. And hopefully this is quick and successful. Yeah.
Yeah. Family first, Jack. Family first. You first. Much more important than the game at any cost. Mm-hmm. We will take a break and we will go west. Don't forget Derek Van Deese will join us later on as well, as we'll get his thoughts on Edmonton, some previews as well into the 24-25 season, North American season getting underway tonight. And we'll continue after this. Pucks and Seven brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
And don't forget, Derek Van Deese is going to join us in just a bit. He will try to be the latest to survive 77 seconds with. I've prepped him already for this, Vic. Everyone we prepped has enjoyed it. They think it's a very fun segment, and it is. Anyway, Derek Van Deese will join us. We'll talk about Edmonton a little more.
When you say prepped, you didn't give him the question.
No. All I said was
giving him the gist of the segment.
Yeah, I said you have seven questions, and you have 77 seconds to answer them. Hockey related, some non. That's all I said.
Right.
That's all I say. And then they always say, "Oh, I'm excited," and I said, and then my response is, "Well, it could change your mind when you're done, so don't get too excited." Anyway, Pucks and Seven brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts, so we're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. They've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Gold has averaged 9% annual returns in the past 20 years, making it a great long-term hedge against inflation. Use the promo code PUCKSAND7 for $10 off on your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca, that's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca, or give them a call. Use the phone and talk to people. Vic hates when you use the phone and talk to people. I'm kidding. 1-888.
I love the telephone. I think it's far more economical and said text.
Can I finish the number? 1-888-861-0775. We went east. Let's go west. There's three games going on tonight. Again, the NHL opening up the North American schedule. The Panthers and the Bruins, of course, Florida playing the first game since they beat Edmonton in Game 7 of the Cup Final. Utah Hockey Club, their first game as the newly named team against Chicago. And the Blues and the Kraken, Vic. Last year, yes, if they played against each other, that's one thing. But this year, it has to do with the big story being Jessica Campbell.
The big story is Jessica Campbell, and it should be. So this is the first.
And I'm applauding.
Big time. This is the first woman to serve as an assistant coach behind the bench of an NHL team. Jessica Campbell, of course, was an assistant coach with Coachella, the AHL affiliate of the Seattle Kraken, and had worked with Dan Bylsma as well, who is the new coach of the Seattle Kraken.
There's obviously
a good relationship there because otherwise that wouldn't be moving forward. Mm-hmm. Highly qualified. There's going to be a day when we're going to be able to stop saying that we have to tell people that this woman is highly qualified, but she is.
Yep.
And she is making history. Good on her. She looks pretty confident with it because it's hard being first. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's hard being first. It's a lot easier being second, third, and eighth, and 12th. So. Yeah.
And you can be on camera and you can say all the right things being interviewed, but it's very tough. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes. But you're right. I love the whole Dan Bylsma thing, the relationship they have, and also just the support I think she has around her of all the family and friends. She's also a member of the NHL Coaches Association Female Coaches Program. Yes. And I just saw this. It's in its fifth year. Has over 100 women, 34 new members this season. So 34 of them, which I think is awesome. Because if you think about 5 years, that's an average of 20. Now they get 34 new members. It's the largest membership in the program's history. You also talked about this, how she coached at Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Well, makes sense, right? That's your job. Go to Coachella.
Okay,
you're going to be a coach.
Okay.
Let's move on. Macklin Celebrini is good. We talked about, come on, you've missed it. You know you haven't. So those not watching right now, Vic has her head in her hands.
It's
and she
right.
is
Welcome
thinking,
back
I have a more of a
Pucks
headache than
Seven
I did before I started.
With Ryan Payton
We mentioned Panarin
and
back
Victoria
at practice
Madiash.
With the Rangers. Good to see Celebrini okay for San Jose.
Well, that was another concern during preseason as well, because here's your number one draft.
Cancel the entire preseason. Cancel all the games, no injuries.
You know some people call for it, eh?
I know, but I don't.
No, you can't cancel the whole thing. I think we can probably knock it down to four and maybe have the Stars out there for one or two, but Anywho, right. But mm-hmm. it's going to be nice to see him come out because it is the number one draft pick. A lot of people, you don't even have to be a fan of the team. We're just excited about him and see what he got because he did score in his first preseason game and everybody got really excited about that. So, but now that it's the real thing, of course, we're all even that more jazzed and worth staying up for. Actually, no, they're early. Oh, I love me my matinee hockey.
I love my
matinee hockey. So that's very exciting. So a lot of people, not just fans of that particular team,
right?
A lot of people are going to be excited.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games too coming up on Wednesday. There's three All-Canadian matchups. Thursday, NHL Coast to Coast premieres on Prime Video. That'll be fantastic just to see that whole series. Anyway, that's good for San Jose because Celebrini is going to be the guy, I think, that drives the team in that direction.
I know it sounds like I was talking about him in Seattle because I was excited about
him. No, I didn't think that.
My thoughts ran together. So you don't have to be a fan of San Jose. Got a little excited there. To root for that team and root for that player in particular.
Back to the whole injury thing, and my thing with preseason games would be, yes, to cut them down. And I think four is a good amount of games. And then also, if you have the Stars playing, make sure you dress, say, another center or a fourth center instead of, I don't know, another pair of defensemen or something. Because say if a center on a team plays the first period and then they're done. 20 minutes, that's okay.
It's like a quarterback in preseason.
That's right.
Four snaps and then it's over and done with.
Yeah, and I understand how you get up to speed, and I know that game shape is not, there's nothing like a game. And I guarantee this though, within the first week of the season, so many guys are going to be saying, and even women that play hockey, oh, you know what? Wow, we're still not up to game shape yet. We're still not up to speed. We're still not there yet.
Even though you're
at the healthiest that you've ever been, you're in great shape, but it is different. I understand. So give it an extra week, though, in the first week of the season. But anyway, with that being said, my point is Calgary's leading scorer last year, Igor Sharangovich. There we go.
Yegor Sharangovich. One of the bright stories for Calgary during a year that there weren't a lot of bright stories to tell. And so many people were sent out of that organization out of necessity. This is not a criticism of the Flames management or Craig Conroy or anything like that. This team is headed for a rebuild. They're in a rebuild now. They were headed for a rebuild. All the necessary steps were taken, essentially not cleaning house, but coming close. So Sharangovich was a happy story. He scored a whole bunch. He scored more than he ever had before. And now it's just like, the punches keep coming for this franchise. More lousy news. He's out with a lower body injury, and it's not day to day. It's week to week. It can only be worse if it's like a Drew Doughty month to month situation. It doesn't sound like it's that. But unfortunately, one of the bright spots for this team that's trying to, get back to the business of building up a hockey team, and he was one of the bright spots, and unfortunately they're not going to start the season with him. It sucks for Flames fans, man. Like, it's unfortunate.
No, it is. By the way, Doughty did have surgery. It was successful. So that's good news. And I was looking again, my apologies, Yegor, for messing up the name, but this would have been something if you were broadcasting the game, because Sharangovich was hurt when he was collided with Vladislav Namestnikov. So it's not like you collided with a Joe Smith. We're talking Yegor Sharangovich, Vladislav Namestnikov. Bless you, Gesundheit. Calgary rewarded him for that really good season too, Vic, that five-year deal at 28.75. So anyway, hopefully he'll get back soon. Calgary opens up its season on Wednesday. That's tomorrow in Vancouver against the Canucks. Utah. Here we go, Vic. Clayton Keller, I think we were bang on too. Didn't we both say that Clayton Keller was going to be the captain?
And they listened to the podcast, and days later they named him the captain.
I know.
So I really appreciate it. Would have appreciated a little bit of credit to Pucks and Seven, but
I know.
They're busy. They're busy, so we're going to let
it slide. From the story that I heard was they were all in a room together, and we were on the table on a computer.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
On the sheet of paper, see, they had all the list of the potential captains, and then hold on a second. What did Vic and – oh, that's what they said. Okay, Clayton, you're in. I'm kidding, but that would be cool. Anyway.
It was a no-brainer decision.
We can agree.
Yeah. Both of you and I are on the same page. So I like the fact that they have one.
Yes.
So it's only Seattle that's still without, isn't it? Right. Okay. I like that they have one for opening night. It makes it a little bit more fun, a little bit more fantastical. So everybody, the arena is sold out.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of season's tickets sold already. Everybody's pretty pumped up. I would hope opening night would be sold out, but you never know. Yeah. And what do you think my only complaint is about the home opener in Utah tonight?
I don't know.
It's on at 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, right. Vic, look, you can't have everything. You can't have every game meet your time zone. You can't have that.
We couldn't have 8:30. Anyway.
You couldn't
like
have
I
that.
Said, I get my matinee hockey, my St. Louis and Seattle at 4:30. But I'm going to stay up for it because you're watching the first game with a new franchise. It's not a new franchise, but a newly moved franchise enjoying a fresh start. I'm going to stay up for it for certain, but I wouldn't mind if it was on a little bit earlier.
So. Yeah, and this isn't an expansion team. This isn't the Kraken. Nope. This isn't the Vegas Golden Knights. So the expectations can't be, oh, this is a brand new team coming in, so they're going to be just turning it up like – especially, well, Seattle didn't do it the first year. They did in the second, but Vegas has been dynamite since day one. I loved what Bill Armstrong said, the GM. He said, if we can be playing meaningful games down the stretch, it's going to be a hell of a season. So I think that's great. Set the bar high, set it realistically. And the fact that they have one, and the fact there's stability now, Vic. There's stability for this team that, yep. I mean, how often did we talk about Arizona? We talked about them so often for all these years. And nothing was going to happen. Nothing happened. But
families
now
can
it is.
Buy a house. They can enroll their kids in school knowing that they're going to go
they
to the
settle.
Same school in grade 1, 2, 3, 4. You can put down some roots because I know the players enjoyed it in Arizona. They liked the place. They didn't like the fact that it felt like the transition was going to happen at any moment. And who knows where they were going to go. That's very unsettling. It's difficult to live under those circumstances. Even if you're making millions of dollars, it's still difficult. So the fact that they can all exhale, I think is going to make a difference on the ice. They're human beings.
Yeah. Last time I checked, they are, Vic. See, this is the insight. This is the insight again that we have come to know. I've come to know from my wonderful partner, not just on this, but in life in general. Okay, James Reimer. I'm looking at how many teams he's played for. So we've got Toronto, San Jose, Florida, Carolina, back to San Jose, Detroit, and now he landed in Anaheim as a Duck.
John Gibson's out. For a while after the appendectomy, they don't want Lucas to be playing in and out every single night and wear and tear. The prospects are young otherwise, and they're not so sure what to deal with that. So he's a little bit of an insurance, I believe. I don't think anybody thinks the Anaheim Ducks are going to nail down a playoff spot by the time we're all said and done. But the Ducks are certainly going to play that way because every team believes that they can do it. And they're going to give it their all. I don't really have much else to say but say about James Reimer. Are you good?
Yeah. Wow. No, it is. No, that's fine. But it does kind of correlate with the whole John Gibson thing. I know he's hurt, but he's we did this. I had to put in some picks yesterday for the fourth period, and one of them was biggest name to be traded. And once again, I had John Gibson.
That's who you picked.
Picked him for 100 years. Yeah. Not 100, maybe four,
today,
five.
This might be the year. I thought there was a chance it could have happened last year, but this might, first of all, he has to heal.
Yes.
A long period to recover from an appendectomy. Does it not strike you that?
It
and
does.
I don't know the situation of what happened there, but you've heard of other stories.
Yeah.
Okay, elite athletes, like I'd be in bed for 4 months, but elite athletes have this operation and they're back on the field, pitch, ice really quickly. So hopefully nothing went askew and he's going to be perfectly fine, or that he's just going to take his time in recovering and then get back to the ice. But we will see if John Gibson finishes his season as a Duck. I can see you getting this one right.
Wow. Okay, good. We're going to edit this clip and going to play it all day and tomorrow. I can see you getting this right. I'm going to send this to you because I've already butchered one name. They have a lot of goalies in Minnesota at the moment.
They have three starting goalies in Minnesota, which is not the norm. They just signed Jesper Wallstedt to play in the NHL to a 2-year deal. And when you already have Gustafsson and Marc-Andre Fleury on board, then you're going to – now it looks like the scheme is to rotate the three of them out. Now, Marc-Andre Fleury is in the twilight of his career. There's absolutely no discussion there. I think the guy's just having a good time. It's done. He's in the twilight. He's going to play, I think, rather sparingly. Mm-hmm. And let's see where it goes. But I like this approach because Jesper Wallstedt is a very talented younger goaltender. This is a goalie of the future type guy. And somebody you're going to see further down the line. And but Gustafsson is still, you know, a pretty solid goaltender.
No, I know.
So they have some options. Here's another team. This reminds me of Carolina. I think the Blues are, we can bring them into this conversation as well. But like Carolina in the East, we just don't talk about the Wild a lot.
No, we don't.
But they're a pretty good hockey team. So the fact that we can give them a little bit of love for what they're doing between the pipes, because I think I do appreciate what they're doing. Three goaltenders are better than two. Two goaltenders are better than one. So if they can manage the roster otherwise, because now they're short a player at another position, obviously. But I do like it. This is a real out-and-out approach that I appreciate.
Yeah, and Fleury, you mentioned that this is his, he's done after this season, and two things that, well, I love the guy. He's going to be a Hall of Famer first ballot whenever he goes in.
No question.
I loved what he said at the beginning of the season or in the offseason. He said, look, I don't want there to be any fan, like nothing. I don't want everyone to pause the game all the time for me and all that stuff. I don't want that. And then did you see the other day during the game when he was out on the ice with a mustache on? He was part of the ice cleaning crew, and he went by.
He's having a good time.
I'll never forget when he was picked up by Vegas. The first thing he did was go downtown or outside the arena, wherever he was, and he started playing hockey with kids, signing autographs. I thought, you are just a gem. So it's going to be nice. It's going to be tough to see him go, but it's going to be nice to see him at least for one last season.
But moving forward, they're going to give the Wallstedt kid, he's only 21, they're going to give him some reps. So he's not thrown right into the fire. Marc-Andre Fleury is there to cushion it a little bit. Gustafsson is still only 26 years old.
I know.
So the youth or that the age of the goaltenders the Wild have right now on staff, if they are as good as we expect them to continue to be, they're in very good shape.
Fleury's going to be such a mentor. He's already being a mentor, but he's going to be such a mentor to young goalies. Okay, last one too. And this is something that I really think needs to be addressed by the National Hockey League. The American Hockey League, which is the NHL's top development circuit, they've made cut-resistant neck protection mandatory for anybody taking the ice beginning this season. I assume that has to do with mascots as well. I'm not sure. I'll look through the fine details of that. This decision was ahead of the 23-24 season, where they mandated cut-resistant socks and wrist sleeves. I'm going to say this. Bill Daly was asked about this, and he said, I think we're moving in that direction. And Jack Hughes, and this gets me, the Devil's Star, said that every game, every player is trying to get a potential edge. And he said feeling good on the ice in a game is a huge part of that. And Hughes said, there's not nearly enough that's gone wrong for me to wear a neck guard. You got to be comfortable.
I don't love that.
Nope.
I don't love that at all. He is entitled to his opinion, of
absolutely.
Course. But the problem is a lot of younger players, like, say, my nephews who are 9 and 13 and have to wear neck guards. And by the way, don't enjoy it either.
Right.
But they have to. And, you know, I'm a safety girl. I'm safety first. I would have everybody I love walk around in bubble wrap if I could with a helmet on, just living their daily life. I understand that's unreasonable. But if you can wear something very minor that now is being engineered in such a fashion that it isn't this heavy. It's not what we wore. Remember what we wore back in the day?
I had this like massive styrofoam white thing. That
it was like a life jacket around your neck. It was awful. And you couldn't move your head, but we still had to wear them because safety, right? Now they're almost weightless. They're so thin, but they're still protective. So to listen to that comment from Hughes is incredibly disappointing in my mind.
This is, and then we'll hit the break. Derek Van Dies is coming up. And this is my fear. And this happens in life in general with so many different things and so many bad things that happen. It takes a really bad thing to happen for some change to occur.
That's what I think about all the time, Ryan, that somebody's going to die, somebody's going to die, and then it's going to change. And I don't want somebody to die first. I want it to change first so somebody doesn't die.
And that's exactly. Adam Johnson, remember? And when he was in the Elite Ice Hockey League, he passed away. So I don't want that to happen. I really don't, NHL. And as I think it was, and I have it here, it was John Carlson. Mm-hmm. He said this. He's like, I see a day when it's going to be mandatory. He said, everything seems burdensome when it's a change, but its intention is in the correct place, and then it'll become normal.
Grandfathered
I think that's
it.
Great. Yep.
If you're already playing Hughes Boys, I mean, then you don't have to worry about it. But anybody entering the NHL now, and do it now so everybody gets accustomed to it. Honest to goodness.
I'm with you. Well, if Utah decided to pick Keller because they listen to us, maybe the league's going to listen to us and imagine. Okay.
Our influence is wide and heavy.
It's unbelievable. We'll take a break. Derek Van Deest is coming up. We'll talk Edmonton, get his early impressions of what's going to happen this season in the league in 77 seconds with Derek as well. Pucks in 7 brought to you by Sprott Money.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
Well, don't know if he's going to be our latest victim because the 77 seconds segment, I always intro this the wrong way because Victoria always shakes her head. Derek Van Deest is joining us, NHL.com.
It's just a fun segment. That's it.
It is, but I just want to see our guests' faces as I say it. Anyway,
right.
Derek Van Deest, he's been on the hot stove with us on SiriusXM Channel 91, NHL Network Radio last year. He'll be on again this year, does some great work, covers a lot of things, North American hockey as well. And we're going to get his take on Edmonton. And again, we're going to go into the 77 seconds segment with Derek. Again, that's 7 questions in 77 seconds. And Vic does have a timer DVD. You can't go over.
Okay.
That's the key.
every single person has gone over so far. Yeah. There's no pressure.
I think there was one that used 70 seconds of the 77 for one answer, I think.
Yes.
Something like that. Anyway, let's talk. First of all, very excited to get this North American season going. How was your offseason, first off? Because we know it was a really good season for Edmonton. They lost in Game 7, but that was a long one last year for the Oilers.
Yeah, it was a long season. It was a short offseason, which here in Edmonton, after the decade of darkness, it's nice to have short offseasons.
Right.
A long time, you know, with 10, 11 years, we had such a long offseason. Short season can end June 24th, and by the time everything kind of, you know, it was the season was over, the draft, the awards, everything, and then they had the Ivan Hlinka tournament here in Edmonton as well with the young prospects. So all the GMs descended on Edmonton in August, and I don't know if you're familiar with Edmonton. Edmonton gets about 8 weeks of summer. That's
right.
About it. You know,
that's it.
And the last thing you want to do is spend August in an arena.
Right.
Having spent that. 8 months in arena, but it was a fun tournament. You get to see some of the kids that are going to be up for the draft this year. All the GMs are in town. Everyone's excited about their season. Everyone's excited about the prospects. So it was a short off season, but nonetheless, it was a lot of fun last season. And I think the hope in Edmonton is to have another season like that, because the playoffs and when a team goes on a run, it's really, really fun city to be in.
On that note, I mean, this team is not constructed exactly the same way as it was. There's some new faces in, there's some old faces out. Where do you see them in terms of, are they a little bit better? Are they the same with the additions of course, Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson, but then no more Dylan Holloway. So there are a few subtle changes, no Evander Kane. And that wasn't a management decision. That was just bad injury stories.
Yeah.
But where do you see them in terms of compared to that magnificent run that they just went on?
Well, the team, they got the core pieces back, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guys decided to stick around. There's some unrestricted free agents that decided to go and make another run. Adam Henrique said he wanted to stick around and stay. Matias Janmark wanted to stay for another run. So there's guys that wanted to stay. And bringing in a guy, to me, the most intriguing addition is Victor Arvidsson. This
me
is a
too.
Guy that has a lot of talent. It's just injuries have really set him back. So now you're bringing him in. If he can stay healthy, he can play on Leon Draisaitl's wing. He's gonna get a lot of points. And he does a lot of things too. He kills penalties. He's a relentless forechecker. He's a guy that can go get the puck for a guy like Leon Draisaitl. So I think he's going to be an interesting addition. Jeff Skinner as well, very talented winger, very talented player, and he's going to be playing with probably the most talented players he's ever played with. No disrespect to anyone in Buffalo or Carolina, but you know, it's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and talented players like that can feed him the puck. He's a goal scorer, so and he wants to kind of get back to that 30 goal range. If he can kind of find his form, I think that's going to be a great addition. I believe the big question mark here is the owners did lose a couple of young players, like Philip Roberg and Dylan Holloway. They got offer sheets in St. Louis. They left. And so they got older really quick. They're an older team now. They might be one of the oldest teams in the National Hockey League. They went from a really young up-and-coming team to a veteran team in a span of a couple of years. So I think that is the one concern, is like they do have some speed at the top end of their lineup. How much speed did they lose by losing some of those guys, you know, like Holloway, like Broberg, some of those younger guys? They don't have those younger guys. They lost Ryan McLeod, who's a speedster. They lost a couple other guys that can skate as well. So I think that's one of the concerns, is this going to be a bit slower team that we've seen in the past? And then obviously on the back end, that's something that is a bit of a concern. They come back, but their top pairing is back. Darnell Nurse is coming off a bit of a hip injury, so you don't know how well he's going to feel early on in the season. And then they got a couple of other guys that have been trying to pencil in. So I think the area of concern is the back end right now, the defense. And I think everything else, they're very deep up front. So they're gonna score a lot of goals. But unless the back end kind of gets things going, they're probably going to concede a lot early on as well. And the Oilers know that you can't play fire wagon hockey to win the Stanley Cup playoffs. You've got to play solid defensively to win at that time of year. So, but they got 82 games to figure it out. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in another veteran defenseman at some point.
That's what I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah, because this, I mean, this team is poised to go back to the Stanley Cup final. I think a lot of people think that. And the biggest guy I'd love to see play in a playoff game is Jeff Skinner. 14 years without a playoff game. I mean, just throw him in. Even if he goes suits up for somebody else and pretends he's traded for a game, just go in there. Get that off your back. One question about the defense. I was going to ask you about the same way. Evan Bouchard. I remember when Matthias Ekholm came over and they started playing together, Ekholm said within, I think, two games or something, this guy's, the ceiling's the limit. There's no ceiling for him. Yeah, he's an incredible hockey. He had a great season last year. He was great on the power play. Do you see this just continuing to trend upwards? Because we know sometimes, well, a lot of times in sports, when a player has a really good season, teams make an adjustment the season after. Do you see that happening, or do you see just the sky keep growing here for Evan Bouchard?
Well, I think for Evan Bouchard, he's such a talented offensive player. He does remind me a lot of Paul Coffey. He doesn't skate as well as Paul Coffey, but he's got great offensive instincts. And I think the thing with Evan Bouchard is he wants to work on his defensive side. I think that's something that he wants to be a well-rounded defenseman, a guy that's not just all offense. And it was funny because Charlie Huddy used to be an assistant here, and Charlie Huddy would tell stories of playing with Paul Coffey and how Paul Coffey would make him work both corners because Paul Coffey never went into the corner to get the puck.
Right.
Evan Bouchard doesn't want to be that guy. He wants to be the guy that does the dirty work, can do the kind of heavy lifting that Matthias Ekholm does on his pairing. So I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see him try and round out his game, be better defensively. But you're right. Offensively, sky's the limit. He's got, one of the hardest shots in the National Hockey League. You don't beat goalies from the point anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
Just loading up a slap shot. But he's a guy that does it consistently. And it's very accurate. And it's very hard. Guys aren't afraid to stand in front of the net. There have been some guys here before that have had boomers, but you didn't go anywhere near the net. Like Sheldon Surrey is one of those guys I remember. He could load it up from the blue line, but you were diving out of the way because, like Nuke LaLouche, he didn't know where it was going. So I think it's a little different now with Evan Bouchard. You know, Zach Hyman says, I'm not afraid to go to the front of the net. I know I'm not going to get hit anywhere above the waist. He has taken a few off the ankles and things like that, but I think that's what makes him so talented. And he's just such a great offensive instincts, and he makes good first passes out of the zone. And so I think that's where it'll keep evolving offensively. He'll keep improving. But I do think that he's making a conscious effort this year to work in his own end of the rink and be a more well-rounded defenseman.
Before we move on to the new fancy new television program that I believe you are a fan of, Oilers are still the team to beat in their division, though. You don't have somebody else topping them, do you?
No. Look at that division and, you go beyond the Oilers and Vancouver Canucks and maybe Los Angeles Kings. And to be honest, there's a lot of rebuilding teams in that division, a lot of teams that are trying to get to that next level. Calgary's going to take a step back. They're going to rebuild. I don't think Calgary's in a weird spot right now where they don't want to be a full rebuild, but you may have to. It depends on what the situation is there. Anaheim's trying to rebuild. San Jose, we know it's San Jose, and they're starting at the bottom, trying to climb their way up. So if the Oilers don't win this division, I think there's going to be an inquiry here. I think Vancouver is probably the team that's going to give them the hardest time. But the Oilers should win this division hands down, unless the wheels completely fall off this hockey club, which I can't see happening. But you never know. That's why they play the games. But I think It's the fact that they're a strong team and the division is not particularly strong. I don't see them getting a lot of challenges for that top spot, to be honest.
If one of Gretzky's teams in the 80s decided to join the Pacific, I think they'd give the Oilers a run. But outside of that, this is Edmonton's division to lose. Speaking of losing, of course, they made it all the way, DVD, to the Stanley Cup final. And the Connor McDavid clip has been making the rounds lately. Victoria and I, this is our third season doing this, and we've talked at length about just the lack of intensity that we see from Connor McDavid. Well, we saw quite a bit of intensity on that clip. It was after game two. Talk a bit about that and talk a bit about too, McDavid. You're closer to him than obviously Vic and I are, but the leadership qualities that he does have.
Yeah, it was interesting. I got, you know, as working for the league, I got a kind of a sneak peek of that. And I was able to talk to Connor McDavid before the documentary came out. And obviously that was the talking point, is we've never seen him snap like that. He's never done that with us. He's very reserved with us. He's very reserved anywhere else. And we've never seen him kind of lose it like that. So I went up and asked him. I had a private conversation with him, got fortunate enough. And I said, is that out of character for you? Is that something that was completely out of character? And he said, no, every now and then I will snap. I will lose it in the dressing room. When my voice has to be heard, I will make my voice heard. So he's a very different individual inside that locker room and amongst his core and his peer players than he is outside the locker room. He's very reserved. He's a selfish. He's an introverted guy. He admitted that as much in that documentary. So he's very reserved with us. If you get him off by himself, he kind of opens up a little bit. But in front of the cameras, he doesn't say much. But and then you talk to his teammates about that, and they said, no. Every now and then he will do that. He will lead that way. He will get our attention. And I think he's a guy that doesn't say much, but when he does say something, you pay attention and
people listen.
And he speaks up. He's not always yelling and screaming, but when he does, it does get people's attention. I think that was a kind of a sneak inside that they pulled back the curtain. Although you see one of the Oilers trainers quickly running and closing the curtain. I thought that was pretty funny. You know what, we can't do, but because you don't see that side of Connor McDavid, but he said it was there and it's there every now and then. And he just puts so much pressure on himself to win. And he said, no one puts more pressure on me to win than me. Mm-hmm. The media, the fans, everyone else. He wants to win so badly. And then you saw that at the end, after game seven, how he kind of just broke down.
Yep.
And all the emotions came out. It was just so much pressure on him. And, you know, you really kind of felt for him. And you think this guy is kind of a robot, doesn't have any emotions. He's always kind of level. But behind the scenes, he does. He'll go up and down. He does have those emotions. And it was nice to see. It was refreshing to see. Even for a guy like me, who sees him on an everyday basis, but I don't get the inside scoop. I don't see it on inside. He just kind of shows me what he wants to show us here in the media in Edmonton. So, but I did get a chance to talk to him and he said, no, that wasn't completely out of character. I've done that before and it was just caught by the cameras this time.
We should make mention, though, we're talking about the documentary series now available on Amazon Prime called NHL Face Off. And so the cameras do go into the dressing rooms. They go behind the scenes. It's very much like Drive to Survive. The F1 series, in terms of showcasing the players' personalities, giving us a little bit of a look behind the curtain, right? And I know you've watched all of it so far.
Yeah, I did. I have seen it. And so I thought they did a fantastic job telling those stories. And, you know, I talked to a lot of players about it here in Edmonton, and they have all enjoyed it. They do have a vulnerability to them. They like, yeah, you're a little bit vulnerable because you have these cameras and these are usually private moments, and now suddenly the cameras are on you. But they all enjoy those shows. I know Connor McDavid said he really liked the soccer one. I think there was one with Tottenham Hotspur did one. He really enjoyed that. He enjoyed the F1 show. So he understands that the league is trying to promote the players and show them outside of the ring and show them at different sides. So he understands that sometimes it's going to be things that you probably wish they wouldn't show, but I think overall, every player I've talked to, the experience was very positive when it came to the cameras around and the show and how they were portrayed.
We love stories, man. Like, we love stories and we love to see who these people are. And that's something I know Ryan and I have talked about extensively, that the NHL is a little bit behind. And I like the fact that they're now catching up with showcasing who these people are, because we want to get to know them a little bit better, even warts and all, right? It's entertaining. Sports is entertainment. So I'm looking forward to it.
Sure,
I'm going to crack it on the weekend. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a great series. And you're right. You do see players in a different perspective, which is nice to see.
Quickly, before we get to the 77 seconds with you, sticking in the Western Conference, let me throw this at you as well. Would it be a surprise at all if Edmonton got back to the Western Conference Final? And who do you see as maybe challenging the Oilers the most in that conference?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm almost expecting them to get back because I do think their division, the first two rounds will not be difficult to get out, and I think that's going to help them a lot. But I still like the Dallas Stars. I still like what they're doing there. They got a lot of young players. They got a great goalie. They got one of the best defensemen in the league, and I really think that that team, you know, that team has a makeup where last year I saw them, they have a very good older group, and they had a really good younger group, and they're kind of missing those 28, 29, 27-year-old guys, and I think that group is starting to get filled up now. And I think they're still going to be a strong contender. There's going to be a strong contender. That Central Division is going to be tough, though. That's going to be a tough division now. Now with Nashville becoming what they are, getting to the Stanley Cup. So those guys are going to be that longer when they get to playoffs. I do like Colorado as well. I think they're a team that kind of took a step back after winning the Stanley Cup. And I think they've kind of reloaded. And, you know, you have Nathan MacKinnon there. He's a superstar player. Yeah. He's going to lead them, trying to lead them back to the Stanley Cup. So I think Out of the Pacific, I think Edmonton will be able to get out of the Pacific, but once they get to meet some of those Central Division teams, that's where it might get tough. So I see Edmonton or Dallas, Edmonton, Colorado in a Western Conference final.
I should say Vic's extra fired up for Nashville DVD because she just got back from Nashville, actually. So she's got an extra.
What a city.
That's a great town.
Yeah.
I would travel with the team. I'd spend a couple of days in Nashville, which was a lot. Last year they had the draft and the awards in Nashville. I spent almost a week in Nashville, which was a lot, like spending a week. Because you're saying, oh, I'm not going to go out tonight. Okay, I'll go for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you end up in the bar, and then this great band is playing. I was like, well, I can't leave because the band is so good. And then it's just one of those things, suddenly it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and oh my God, I got to work tomorrow at 9
a.m. again.
So, the fantastic town. I really enjoy going to Nashville.
I did three nights.
Yeah.
And that was
plenty.
Capital P, plenty. I am good.
I don't understand how the Predators aren't 41-0 at home every year, considering Broadway, how fun it is. And, you know, the players literally have to have curfews in Nashville. Okay, you guys are only allowed out till 10 o'clock at the bar listening to these great bands. It's such a fun town. I really, really enjoy it. And that's one of my favorite spots to go to.
There's reasons why they call it Smashville. So there you go.
Yeehaw.
Okay. 77 seconds with DVD. So what you have to do, we're going to give you 7 questions. 77 seconds to answer them. And most are hockey related. Some are not. So let's get going. Vic, you've got number 1.
Over, under Connor McDavid, 50 goals.
Over. You'll get probably 60.
Heard it here first.
Huh?
Yes. Yeah. I said 60? You heard it here first.
I think you'll push 60 this year. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Maybe not 64 he got a couple years ago, but he'll push 60.
So he's not going to not shoot anymore. He's actually going to do what he does best.
He's healthy this year, yeah.
Right, exactly. Does Stuart Skinner play 60?
No. I think Stuart Skinner, like, it's funny. We asked him, Stuart Skinner, how many games he wants to play, how many games would be ideal for him. He said 82. I think that's just the kind of type of guy he is. I think that the owners have a lot of confidence in Calvin Pickard. I think Stuart Skinner plays about 50, 55 games, and they have no problem giving Calvin Pickard the rest. I think they really were impressed with him last season. He came in here, and he played really well, and he earned that backup job, and I think they're not afraid to play Calvin Pickard and the team in front of him. When Calvin's in the net, they still have confidence in that goal. So I see Stuart Skinner playing between 50 and 55 games this regular season.
Which Western team that made the playoffs last year, if any, doesn't scrape in this year?
That did make the playoffs last year, the scrape in this year.
And if not, if you think it's Kraken.
I like the Seattle Kraken. I do think that Seattle Kraken, you know, they took a step back last year. They got a new coach. They got a new attitude. They got some good young players coming in there. I talked to Matty Beniers a couple of days ago. He's really excited about the season. He wants to have a bounce back season. He went through the sophomore slump. He wants to come back, have a bounce back season. So I really like the Seattle Kraken, and I think it's going to help that the Pacific Division isn't that strong. Mm-hmm. So I think the Kraken go in there, and they can make they can either get that third spot in the division or maybe you're in a wild card. But I like Seattle's team. And I think they'll bounce back and get into the playoffs.
Your pick for the Hart Trophy?
That Connor McDavid. I think he's just going to have a massive mess. He's going to be like a couple of years ago where it's just like, he's the guy. Everyone is here. There's no way he's not going to win. He may win, to me, this year unanimously, just for the season he wants to put together and just the determination he has this year. I see McDavid. I do see him getting 60 points, 60 goals, and pushing 100 assists. So I'm looking at doing 155, 160 points for Connor McDavid this year.
Wow. DVD.
He's going to have a massive
year. Who in the world of hockey, past or present, that you have not, would you like to interview or go back in time and interview?
Past or present? Okay, this is going to be interesting. The one guy I have not interviewed, and I'm going to throw this name out there, because when I was a kid, I was a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and I was a huge fan of Mike Palmateer. I don't know if you guys remember Mike Palmateer.
Sure do. Sure do. Big fan of him, too.
I have never run into him in my travels throughout the NHL. I have never run into Mike Palmateer, and I wanted to go. And if I ever meet him, I'm going to say, hey, I was your biggest fan growing up, because I lived in Toronto for a while. Okay. Mike Palmateer was there, and I just loved everything about him. I loved the way he played. I loved the way he was flopping all over the ice, stopping pucks.
Yep.
So I think that's one guy that I kind of wish I'd run into. I think he's selling cars now in Ontario, so I haven't had a chance to. He doesn't hang around the rink anymore, but. Yeah, that's one guy I would love to meet and talk to and interview. It would be Mike Palmateer.
I remember him very well. Who wins the cup?
Well, it's probably a homer pick, but I do think they win the cup. I do think they get back. They were so close last year.
Yeah,
they were so close, but they just weren't. To me, they weren't that refined championship team that Florida was. Florida had been there before, and they kind of knew what it took to, you don't throw games away. And I think Edmonton last year threw away about three games in that final. I thought they were the better team for five of the seven games. Mm-hmm. They threw away game one, they threw away game three, and they kind of threw away game seven. There was 1-1 and they let in a bad goal and they couldn't.
Right.
So I think that's going to be a little tighter this year. They're going to be able to kind of be tight. And Florida did it going back to the cup final. And we've seen a lot of teams do it. They lose in the final, they get back there. And I think this is a little different than 2006. 2006, the Oilers got to the final. They weren't supposed to be there. And then after that, the team kind of imploded and they went on that long decade of darkness. This team is back. They got two superstars that are into their prime now. They're 27, 28. They're right in their wheelhouse here. So I do think they get back. And I do think it helps that their division isn't very strong. They're the top team in that division. I think they get back there. And I think they get back there. They're a little healthier. They're a little smarter. And they'll play the game a little tighter.
CFL question to wrap. Why did it take until August for the Edmonton Elks to win a football game?
Because they're playing the wrong guy at quarterback. And everyone knew it. They're 0-7. And they're like, why is this guy still playing quarterback? Bring in the other guy, Trey Ford. He's exciting. The fans love him. He's a little raw, but if you're going to develop him as your next quarterback, you got to let him play. And it took so long for him to play. Then they played him, started winning, and now they haven't played him again. So, yeah, the fans here are completely frustrated with the coaching staff.
But I believe
that's why they didn't win games. They had the wrong guy under center, and hopefully they'll learn that lesson going into next season.
Proof that you have to listen to the fans. You have to listen to the fans. DVD, we're fans of yours. Thank you for this. We really enjoyed it, and look forward to having you back on as the season gets going and Edmonton trying to get back to that Stanley Cup. So thanks again for your time.
Sounds good. This is really enjoyable. Yeah, I appreciate that, and yeah, look forward to being on throughout the season.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.